Good morning and welcome to ASI's Tuesday Morning Show, where ASI's most outspoken editors talk promo products. I'm Melinda Lagos, editor-in-chief of ASI's magazine, and we have a
magazines?
Motley crew.
You said zine. There's more than
we
one.
We have magazines.
Zines.
We have a Motley crew here for you this morning. How about that? And I don't mean the heavy metal band Motley crew, because that would be very exciting. Over here on my left is the Bassinator, Larry Bassinet, Executive Director of Research for ASI. Larry, why are you here today?
Because Kathy was sick.
Actually, I think you're here to give
a
preview of the Council
State of the
Industry Report.
Absolutely.
It's our biggest study.
That and the ad impression study, which we do every year, and you're going to tell people how the industry is doing, what markets are hot,
mm-hmm.
and what's not. Is that right?
Five highlights from the study.
Five highlights. All right. We'll be looking forward to that. Everyone's favorite managing editor, Joe Haley, is here.
I'm here.
Joe, how are you today?
I'm terrific. How are you, Melinda?
Good. You have some sort of stick.
This is my favorite product. You
okay.
can't look at it until later.
All right. I'm not going to look at it.
It's on the
Andy
desk.
Cohn
we're looking at it. Yeah.
Is here. Andy, what's in the hopper?
Yeah, the king of the hot party. All right.
What's in the hopper at Counselor Magazine?
What's in the hopper?
Yeah. What are you working on?
State of the industry.
All right.
That's why we brought Larry here today.
Okay.
So we can discuss.
Good. Well, we'll look forward to that.
Mm-hmm.
Colin Graff, everyone's favorite marketing director, is here. Colin is replacing the illustrious Kathy Houston, who is out sick today. Colin, what's happening in the world of marketing?
What's not happening in the world of marketing?
You know, I find it curious that on the first 85-degree day of the year, Kathy's not here.
And she does have a pool, which
mm-hmm.
is recently opened.
Yes,
and
suspicious.
Her pool has a shed with a kegerator.
I find it awfully curious.
We'll see her mid-September.
Yeah.
So, Colin, would you rather be here or?
With Kathy at the pool, drinking
with
beer.
With a kegerator. Okay. So
yes.
It didn't seem like that was
I'm
a hard decision.
As soon as the show ends, I'm out the door.
All right. Now, Jan Perrin is.
Road trip.
Yeah, is manning the tech booth today. Let's hope he does that better than he plays foosball.
We got sound effects. Wow, look at that.
Vinny Driscoll will be answering your phone calls today. Give us a call, 215-953-4979. Today's topic is how to be a better networker. If you have any questions or tips on how to network your way to more business, please call us, 215-953-4979. Joe, if we put you on the air today, what are we going to give you?
We're going to give him the radio prize pack, which includes $25
Who
Visa gift
want
card.
A prize pack?
You get the ASI radio show host finger puppets,
huh.
and you get a special Joe Show product. It could be a key tag, it could be a
lunch
travel
box?
Mug.
Oh.
No, we don't have lunchbox.
School year is almost over. No,
we have mouse pads. You get a mouse pad today. How about that?
Well, I would say that our friend Brad White got some radio finger puppets last week
he
and
did.
Put them on Facebook. And of
yeah,
course,
he was excited.
They're
yeah.
trending.
Oh,
yes. They're trending.
They're trending.
So, all right, Joe, what else do we have to look forward to today?
Well, we have why you don't want to be the lowest cost leader. Andy has a look at that. Of course, we have our SOI preview with the one and only Larry Bassinet. We have 10 habits of remarkably charismatic people. Colin has a look there. We have 7 foods that boost your brain power, the foods you should be eating. I know that Andy and Melinda.
Blueberries.
That's one of them. But I know one of them on the list, Andy and Melinda, will not eat.
Something
fishy.
that swims.
We'll find out later. We have salespeople using social media to outsell their peers. We have some other topics if we have time, and we do have our favorite products today. But let's start the show off with the industry news in 60 seconds. Andy.
Thank you, Joe. We begin this morning with product safety news. The CPSC provided another warning shot last week in its efforts to ensure the safety of children's apparel. It recalled hooded sweatshirts and outerwear from retailer Zulily after they were found to contain drawstrings. Since 2011, no children's upper outerwear item is allowed to contain drawstrings. Check out Promogram today for details. On to some good news for industry suppliers. An exclusive ASI survey shows that supplier sales increased by 4.5% in the first quarter of 2013. The increase marks the 13th consecutive quarterly gain for suppliers. On to more safety and compliance news now. Some large retailers are banding together to ensure safety of factories in Bangladesh. Following the collapse of a factory that killed more than 1,100 workers, the retailers signed an agreement that mandates inspections, training, and repairs at factories in Bangladesh and other countries. Marketing news now. A new survey shows that marketers are increasing their spending on data-driven strategies. In fact, 71% of marketers said data-driven marketing efforts are key to their future success. And finally, make sure to check out the latest episode of the Joe Show in Promogram today. Joe, what is hot for today?
We have these pretty cool mouse pads that are unlike any other mouse pad you've probably used.
You've now said the word mouse pad at least 3 times on this show.
Mouse pad.
What's special about them?
Well, you have to watch the Joe Show today to find out.
Okay.
Those are cool. I saw them this morning.
All right. Thanks, Andy.
I'm guessing you're Larry not referring Bassinet. To the Joe Show mouse pads. You're not referring to the cool Joe Show.
No, these are
pads.
Different.
No, these are different.
These
apparently
are
they
cool.
do something that a mouse pad has never done before.
Quite possibly.
All right.
It's the Ooh. Interactive mouse
we'll
pad.
We'll be looking forward to that.
Buckle up.
Larry Bassinet, State of the Industry is about to come out in Counselor Magazine. Actually, it'll come out in July, but you're going to give us some highlights right now.
I'm going to give you some highlights right now. Let's start off with what industries are up and what are down. I've got four of them that are up.
Should
and
we
then
guess?
Four going the other way. Yeah. Well, first of all, let's start off with what do you think is the biggest industry this year?
Education.
I'm going to say healthcare.
Healthcare.
Colin?
Sorry.
I'm going to go with education. I'm privy to the data.
I'm going to go with education. And you already know, Andy, right? Because you saw you yes. hopefully read my report.
I've read. Well, at least some of.
Okay. Well, in fact, it's healthcare. Is the number one market has Woo! Been the last couple of years.
By kind of a long distance.
By a couple, 2.5 percentage points. Which
I didn't
is
know that.
Which is a big
just
part. It's healthcare makes up 13.8% of the market.
And education, they fluctuate. Education is sometimes
it used to be.
Market,
it used
correct?
To be. In 2010, it was a little bit bigger. But it's still
it's
right
still
up
huge.
There.
So education's why do we think
been,
this?
Education's been flat the last few years, which is bad because it's a huge part of the market. Healthcare up.
Budgets cut.
Yeah. Healthcare up 2%, though. And it's already the biggest one. So that's a market that's definitely up quite a bit.
To what do we attribute healthcare being up?
That's what I was asking.
Larry?
I think it's some of the demographics that we have of an aging population needing more healthcare. I think it's a lot of concern over what's going to happen with Obamacare coming up and a lot of positioning and jockeying for that particular thing.
I think if you just look at GDP numbers, healthcare as a percentage of the GDP is rising every year.
Sure.
So it would make sense that in certain markets and niches within the economy that you also see that increasing.
Sure, and there's tons of job opportunities. Baby
exactly.
boomers are aging. A lot of long-term care facilities and things like mm-hmm. that doing marketing.
Yeah, every year the healthcare market is growing bigger than, I would say, every other market that we measure.
All right, so that's the hottest market. What else?
The next hottest one that's rising also towards the top, the third biggest one, manufacturing distribution, up. To 8.1%, almost up a full percentage. That's a lot.
I think that's interesting,
years
actually.
Too, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's been good. And I think that also follows the economy. And those are things that you're hearing about more housing starts and that kind of thing and more
yep.
construction going on, especially if you live around Philadelphia near Interstate 95. Anyway, but I digress. There's a lot of construction going on right now, and it's good to see the industry is moving along with it. Technology is the fifth biggest one, also up almost to 2 percentage points.
I think
very good.
We could attribute some of that to Colin because
Absolutely.
You're a huge buyer of gadgets, no? What's your
Weekly.
Latest gadget?
I spend my weekend at Best Buy.
Yeah. Colin alone is driving
yes,
the increase.
Exactly.
In there.
An exciting weekend you have.
What did you buy at Best Buy?
You're telling me I bought a multimedia dock for my cell phone.
Ooh.
Wow.
Yeah. I tell you.
I know. Impressive.
Larry,
right?
move on.
All right. the other big one, the up construction, up 2%, and that kind of follows manufacturing and distribution, I think, also.
So what's yep. down? Is there anything surprising?
Well, in fact, there are four of them that are down.
Okay. Well,
you should ask that. The biggest one that's down, financial insurance. It's down now for the fourth straight year, down to 7.8%. So obviously still a huge part of the industry. But
they don't want – banks don't want to buy anything.
No.
We've heard from distributors for a good year
marketing?
To 2 years that that selling to banks these days is nearly impossible. I think they're nervous about marketing, frankly, because there's so many new regulations that they have to follow.
But they give away so many pens.
They do.
But I also think that many distributors find that those pen orders are direct orders.
Yeah.
Because they're massive.
Because they're huge.
So they don't see that.
Associations, club, civics group down again for the fourth straight year to 6.3%. Again, big, but I think you're seeing the decline of some of the traditional clubs that we've had in the past. You know, the smaller type, your Rotary type things, your Knights of Columbus thing. People just don't do that.
No
Men
one's joining
don't do
that?
It like these. Well, someone does, but not to
the
extent
of
the that
Knights
they did.
Are you guys members of the
Knights
of Columbus? I am not. Andy?
Do you think I am?
Yeah, that would be
What's
kind of
guess?
Odd if you were.
Well, I thought you were like the Grand Poobah.
It's a Catholic organization,
Grand
so I don't think that Andy would.
Okay,
nonprofits
so
also nonprofits also down quite a bit. You know why that would be exactly? People are cheap. But
All
nonprofits
right.
has declined for the third straight years. And finally, and I don't think this is a big shock, automotive down for the third year, and I think that's because they had such a big uptick there for a while after all the bankruptcies that they're pulling back a little bit right now. Even though they're doing real well, they're not spending it on promotional products like they were. So those are the markets that are up and down.
All right. What other trends do you want to tell us about?
Well, let's talk about some of the marketing strategies that are working, and there's some analysis tactics that some distributors use and some don't. We had a list of things that we asked distributors if they employed in their operation. We said things like, do you track the purchase amount per client? Which would seem like everybody would just do that. They would know how much a client's track. And we found out 61% do, but that means almost 40% don't do that. They don't have a clue.
I'm disturbed by that number in our State of the Industry report. I'm disturbed by that every single year. And the lack of client analysis on distributor part is
so they can't
shocking.
Say who their most number one, who their biggest buyers are, and who their most profitable clients are.
That's
or
the problem.
How they often they purchase, that's right, the next point. They right. can't tell you that either.
There's not nearly enough introspection when it comes to their client list.
Absolutely.
And I think anybody listening should take an opportunity at least once a quarter, if not once a month, to look at your client list, track exactly the amount that you charge them per order, and see what the profit was on each order. Because that's your ultimate goal, is to find the biggest profitability. And you can't do that unless you're actually tracking purchase amount per client, not your overall client base, but per client. So that then you know exactly who the best clients are, and then you could target them even better.
It's very dangerous not to do something like that.
It is.
Retention is huge, and it's easier to keep an existing customer, especially the ones that are spending the most money with you. It's very important to do that than acquire a new customer.
Right. And you know what? I know most people know that, and they follow that theory. The problem is they do it wrong because they work so hard at retaining their current customers, but they don't know who the best customers are.
Right,
so they could
not
be retaining
the biggest spenders.
Exactly.
They're most profitable.
Right. So they could be retaining what are essentially bad clients because they sap your resources and then might not necessarily have the best payoff. So the point of this is you have to be doing that. You have to be tracking your purchase amount per client, or you can't possibly know, like Colin was saying, who the best clients are to retain. You might not want to retain who you thought was a good client if you don't know exactly what the profitability is on every order that they place.
Less than half track individual client profitability, to your point.
Yeah. I mean, that's an incredible number.
A little bit on building your business. Something else we quickly wanted to go over. How are they doing it? Referrals, always number one. No big surprise there. But what is kind of surprising is that while 83% overall say referrals, it's the smaller guys, less than 250K in revenue, distributors that do it the most often. 84%, the largest ones over $1 million, 77%. So still huge, but the small guys are the ones that are really making that work. And also we saw the return of the cold call this year. And smaller guys, less likely to do it, 32%. The largest one, 37%. So the
other people don't make cold calls?
That's not where they say they're getting a main source of new business.
Okay.
I think that number also, sorry to jump in there, might be decreasing for reasons that are new to the economy, essentially, which is like social media in a sense. It's made it so much easier to not have that pure cold call. You know, you have more contacts and you have that sort of inherent, at least little bit of knowledge. And when you cross a box off on a survey, you might say, you know what, I don't make any cold calls because I think I know something at least about everybody I speak to.
You're making warm calls.
Well, that's the goal.
Absolutely.
Where the cold call has changed in a sense.
I think that's a better way to put it.
It's you're not
right.
actually on the phone. You're not actually hitting the pavement, knocking on doors.
Right.
You're doing it through social media.
And there's something I want to point out real quickly. I've got a follow-up article later on. Social networking, 14% actually doing it, but it's smaller companies, smaller distributorships, more likely to do it than larger.
Okay, great. Well, thanks. That's some good information from Larry Bassinet. Larry, you're going to have to come back and give us more tidbits.
I bet you have more. I have more.
All right. And, of course, this is going to be in the mid-July State of the Industry Report in Counselor Magazine. We're going to pause for a message from today's show sponsor, AIA. And when we return, we're going to get our Product Safety Minute from Leighton Lee.
Where do you see your business in the next 5 years? Do you believe that you have all the support and tools to reach your goals? With AIA, your vision can become reality. AIA understands that not all businesses are the same. They work with you to craft a customized individual plan that develops your business in a way that's best for you and the professional life you want to create, regardless of where your business is in its life cycle. When you become part of the AIA community, you have the resources, talent, and expertise of a robust organization at your fingertips, all while keeping your business and your clients. The offer? A simple agreement with no non-compete provisions, no money up front, no monthly or transactional fees, and no technology fees. One simple rate, period. Contact AIA today, 877-212-7324 or www.aiacommunity.com.
Tuesday morning show, and we are going to take your calls in just 1 minute to talk about how you can better network in your community. We've got some callers on the line, but first we have our product safety minute with Leighton Lee from ETS Express. Good morning, Leighton.
Hello, how are you?
Good, how are you doing?
Oh, not too bad, not too bad. This morning, we're going to talk a little bit about shakedown lawsuits, and it really is a surprising but pleasant announcement that I had read about a week and a half ago from the state of California.
Pleasant safety news.
Huh?
It's pleasant.
Yes, it's pleasant. The reason being is that Governor Brown, our governor out here in California, has announced that he is going to take another look at Prop 65, California Prop 65, because of the tremendous amount of abuse by citizen enforcers, what I call affectionately as bounty hunters. So those of you that are regular listeners know that I have often spoken about Prop 65 and the various abuses to it. And it is the most unwieldy regulation out there in our country that keeps suppliers and distributors and retailers on their toes. So let me give you a little bit of background for those listeners that might be new to Prop 65. Prop 65 is better known as the California Safe Drinking Water and Toxic Enforcement Act of 1986. That's how long this thing's been around. Prop 65 requires the state of California to publish a list of chemicals, now about 850 chemicals, that are known to cause cancer, birth defects, or other reproductive harm. The main import of Prop 65 is that manufacturers and retailers must publish a warning if the product has any chemicals that might be on that list. So a warning label on products, signs at the entrances of retail stores, and at various displays in the store are required if any product contain chemicals that exceed the limits under Prop 65. Now, the governor has, as I mentioned, announced that he needs to control this because these bounty hunters are getting out of control, and they're essentially filing tons of lawsuits over the years just to shake down unwary manufacturers, importers, distributors, and retailers, and he's tired of the abuse. So this is the pleasant part, because it's about time. He feels that these bounty hunters have just taken Prop 65 beyond its original intent. As an example, since 2008, 2,000 complaints have been filed by these bounty hunters against manufacturers and retailers, including one party, one bounty hunter, that has recently filed more than 45 lawsuits against banks. And we talked about financial institutions in the earlier segment. But why do they file against banks? It's because they failed, the banks allegedly failed to provide warnings outside their exterior ATMs against the hazards of smoke from smokers using ATMs outdoors along the sidewalks and entrances to these banks. And in my mind, that's pretty ridiculous. So there are six areas that Governor Brown wants to reform under Prop 65, but I'm only going to list two because these are the two areas that are the most abusive and impact our industry and the consumer products industry the most. And one is to limit or cap the amount of attorney's fees that are awarded to the bounty hunters. And the reason being is that bounty hunters get, under the law, the refund of all their attorney's fees that incurred in bringing a lawsuit. Number two, the reform intends to set limits on the amount of money in one of these cases that can go into what I call a settlement fund. Most of these bounty hunters set up these environmental education funds that are nonprofit organizations, and they extract a certain amount of the settlement to go into this little slush fund rather than being paid into penalties, which go to the state of California. So that is my product safety minute. Stay tuned. I think there's going to be more news about this in the coming months, and hopefully we're going to see some reform under Prop 65.
We will. That's something we'll definitely be following. Thank you very much, Leighton Lee.
Thank you.
From ETS Express.
Day.
You too. All right, we are going to take some phone calls right now. Today's topic is how can I be a better networker in my community? And on line two, we have Curtis. Good morning, Curtis.
Hi, everybody. How's everybody doing this morning?
Good. Do you have a question or a comment?
Yeah. I'm not sure if you can help me out. It's a little embarrassing, but
embarrassing.
Well, hear me out. I'm a bit of a.
There are doctors for that.
This ought to be.
I'm a bit of a shy person, I think, and the environment I work in doesn't really challenge that. But recently, I've tried to go outside my comfort zone and begin networking and at a few local events. And I found it pretty challenging to get comfortable and to really make those connections. I'm wondering if you can give me, I know you're not the psychiatrist, but can you give me any ideas on how to, you know, how to do this successfully?
Well, I mean, it can be awkward. We go to events all the time where, you know, you have to go around and mingle. Joe Haley, you're a great networker. What's like an opening line that you use on people? I don't mean to.
Come here
hey
often.
There.
It's
not
you
to pick up.
What's your sign?
No, but I mean, you're very conversational. What's something that you could say to a person to engage them in a network?
Well, at our events, if it's a supplier, I would, you know, ask them, you know, hey, what do you got that's new? You know, what do you have that's different? If it's a distributor, I might ask them, you know, where's their biggest, you know, client come from? What industry and how do they,
sure.
And, you know, so it's easy just to talk about business. And as a distributor
people
going,
like to talk about
sure,
themselves.
Yeah. As a distributor, you know, working a networking event, I might ask the person, you know, what do you do? What's the most interesting part of your, you know, work day? That way it gets the conversation started. And like you said, people like to talk about themselves, so mm-hmm. It gives them an opportunity to open up. And then, you know, the give and take starts. They might ask you what you do, and then you can talk to them, tell them what you do, and then, you know, the conversation is going to, you know, continue, and you might explain to them how you can help their company.
I also think the best part of networking events is that people expect this.
Yeah.
That, you know, they're there doing the same thing that you are. So while there might be others that are shy as well, there might be others that are more outgoing. But the whole point of the thing is to have each person basically be talking about their business. So like Joe said, you know, walking up to somebody and asking them what they do or what their position in the community is, you know, that's a natural for that kind of event.
Right.
As opposed to maybe some other events that you might go to where that might not be expected. It's purely expected at that kind of event. So I wouldn't shy away from it at all.
You know, and I would be specific to business. I wouldn't, you know, try, you know, canned things like, oh, weather today or, you know, hey, did you watch the game last night? I mean,
right.
You might feel more comfortable doing that, but I would stick to business-related questions.
All right. Well,
okay.
That's helpful. Good luck, Curtis.
Thank you very much.
Stay in line for your Visa gift card and your ASI prize pack, too.
The prize pack. ASI radio show prize pack.
On line one, we have Christina. Good morning, Christina.
Hi. Good morning. I had a question. Would sponsoring events like golf tournaments, would that be a good way to network?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. You get your name out there. You get an opportunity to talk to people when they're coming to register for the event. You can drive around the course, you know, in a cart and greet people, you know, at tee boxes when they're at the, you know, ninth hole, you know, when they're going to the back nine. I mean, I think it's a great opportunity. Plus, it'll give you an opportunity to advertise your stuff, you know, by offering the shirts and golf balls and all the other things that you can, you know, do. And you might be meeting other business people who themselves are running their own golf tournaments, and you can show how you can help them.
You can also do the hole-in-one contest, and you can buy insurance for that in case someone actually gets a hole-in-one. But people get very excited about it. And so it's a par three that you've picked out.
You win like $10,000.
Yeah, right, yeah. Right. So you don't want to be out $10,000, but you probably wouldn't be because you just have insurance that will do that. And that's where you can put up more signage and have more discussion, and there's much more excitement about it than any other hole.
And being a sponsor, you also usually get the list of attendees that you can – after the event, then follow up on it. Most of the time, when it's a tournament like or a golf event, most of these people are business people and are attending it for their company, so you gain business contacts that way.
Absolutely, and I'm sure you can give them logo products like golf shirts and things
absolutely.
Like that with your company name on that. I'm sorry, Christina, did you have another question?
Yeah, are there any events other than golf tournaments that we shouldn't sponsor or attend?
That you should or shouldn't.
Shouldn't, but maybe like local charities, some other events that they ask us to sponsor things?
I always think it's good to be active in your community because you can help a variety of different organizations, from the Little League baseball and football organizations to the 5K charity runs and walks. It's always a great opportunity to get out there in the community. People see that you're volunteering your time. You're also sponsoring an event. It gives you an opportunity to get your logo out there and show people. I mean, the great part about this industry is that when you go to a lot of these type of events, people are being given products, and you're a person who supplies those products. So it's a great connection for you, I think.
Yeah, and a lot of those feel-good events are great, but you should also, because there are so many events, and you're going, when you start sponsoring, you're going to start being approached by more and more, be very selective and ask the questions before you agree to sponsor with who are the attendees, what is the audience, and find out if it's really right for you.
I think what you said before, Colin, about following up is really important. I mean, use that as an opportunity. Mm-hmm. Don't just, you know, pay the money and walk away.
And you can also pre-market before the event.
Yeah, like getting contact with
at whatever hole for this.
Right. And again, it does give you that opportunity to network with. There will be business people there. You know, business people have kids who are playing baseball, and they're going to see you in the crowd and stuff. So it gives you an opportunity to contact them and network with them. Mm-hmm.
Well, good luck, Christina. Thanks so much for calling. And stay on the
Thank
line
you.
For your ASI Radio prize pack. On line five, we have Ying. Good morning, Ying.
Good morning. How are you?
Good.
What's I have a question. You see, I have a potential customer. We've been working like almost a year, and he wants order some shirts, but it's been a long time. He never sent me the logo and never really tell me which item he wants us to give them a quote. So I wonder if customer like that, should I keep, bugging them, or I have to give up them? So what do you think?
How long have you been trying to work with this customer?
Around a year, but he always nice, but he never have any action, you know, that's a problem.
I would say it's probably time for that sort of, I wouldn't frame it as an ultimatum per se, but, you could send a note or make a call to the contact there saying, you've put a lot of effort into this and sourced some ideas. You just want to know here on out if they're going to be purchasing. And if not, then, that's fine too. But, it's almost like you need to lay down that point where, okay, we've been doing this for a while now. If you're still interested in purchasing, then we can move further. But I need to know yes or no whether this is going to happen. The last thing you want to do, like we were talking about earlier in the show, is to be putting resources towards clients that are unprofitable. Well, this client is severely unprofitable because they haven't purchased anything from you, or at least as part of this deal, they haven't purchased anything. So I think you need to kind of cut the cord on that a little bit. I wouldn't cut the cord fully so you lose contact with them, but I would say to them, this is a yes or no time. We've been at this a long time now.
All right. Well, good luck, Ying. Thanks so much for calling and stay on the line for your ASI Radio gift pack.
Thank you.
All right. Colin, we're going to give you 1 minute. We've been talking about networking, and obviously to network.
Don't try to go over.
You want to be charismatic. Who in here thinks they're charismatic? Raise your hand. Oh. Okay, Colin and Joe.
I bore myself.
I think we all
bore myself.
All right. What are some habits of remarkably charismatic people, Colin?
These are the top 10 habits, but I'm just going to highlight a few of them.
Okay.
They listen more than they talk.
What?
I agree. Oh, then I'm definitely
did
charismatic.
You say something?
I'm a good listener.
Excuse me.
What
this
did
is
you
my
say?
Wait, this is my segment. Melinda. They don't act self-important. That's another big one.
Oh, Joe, I don't know.
Oh, yeah.
So, the way I think about that
Joe's
is.
Out.
let me tell
let
you.
Let me weigh in on that a little bit.
The charismatic people.
Let me tell you why you're wrong
as we speak.
Okay.
And they shine the spotlight on others, so they give other ones give others
they
the credit.
They give others credit.
Okay. Also, they recognize their failures to others.
Okay.
So inviting you here today.
Exactly. That was your failure?
Give us a couple more. I want to see who at the
okay.
table has these
He's got 10 seconds.
They don't practice selective hearing.
What was that?
Exactly. Exactly. They put their stuff away. They're organized people.
Ooh.
Yeah, that's not
the I don't know if that's actually yeah. true. I don't. I think. I mean, maybe it is for some highly charismatic people, but
I push my chair in.
I don't know that they're always the most organized and detailed people in the world.
Well, I know in journalism, I mean, creative people are not necessarily
right.
organized, and creative can be fun.
Okay. How about they focus their attention? So, for example, when they're with a client or with a friend or whatever, they put their cell phone away. They don't monitor email.
I think that is the best point. You're with a what you would consider a highly charismatic person, mm-hmm. you feel like you're the most important person in their Absolutely. Life at that moment. And that's mm-hmm. the key.
And a lot of these touch on that. It's mm-hmm. all listening, focusing attention on them, exactly. paying attention to them.
They choose right. their words wisely.
Well, I agree.
Okay.
So there
great?
You go. This is just
William Shatner joined us.
I think these are all. A lot of those are just being, you know, super considerate as well and a good listener. But we are going to put those online at asicentral.com/radio. We have 20 seconds for everyone to talk about their favorite products of the week. Joe, you've been holding a stick.
Right. It's not a stick. It's actually a USB LED light. You can plug it into any USB port on your tablet, your laptop, your computer. Car dashboards now have that USB port, so it's very bright. You can find this from Bay State Specialty Company, ASI 38980, and you can find them online at www.baystate.com.
Andy.
Mine is a kit that comes in the shape of a wine bottle, and it has all sorts of wine tools in it, a corkscrew, a wine stopper, a foil cutter, and a pourer. Very cool, and I could
You're
use it
be
this
using
weekend.
That.
And it's from Minya USA, ASI 71370. You can check out a picture of it online now at asicentral.com/radio.
Colin.
It's golf season, so I'm going to pick a polo from Perry Ellis, a Callaway polo from
polo?
Perry Ellis. I am wearing it.
Oh, well, you should stand in front of the camera.
Model for us.
Very nice. Very nice material. Moisture wicking. It's from Perry Ellis International. ASI number 77715.
Is that like a cinnamon color or a burnt
orange? Oh, it's red.
Orange? It's red. Yeah, red.
Just straight red.
Okay. Larry, bring up the rear.
I'm going outside the box on this one, and I'm going to say a whole product category that doesn't get the kind of love that it deserves.
Is this from State of the Industry?
You bet your yes, it is.
Bet
Recognition
your
awards.
Dollar
you bet
is.
your bottom promotional dollar. Recognition awards. It's doubled in the percentage of the industry. Yet less than half of industry participants do it at all. Distributors sell at all, and yet it's
wow.
doubling in size.
There you go.
And the biggest use right now is for employee incentives. A few years ago, during the heights of the recession, they weren't doing it. Now that's the single
incentives
biggest
are
use.
Back.
Incentives are back, and they're still very inexpensive. For what it is you're trying to do with them. And I think it's a category that doesn't get the love that it needs, much
All
like
right.
Joe Haley.
Well, you did a great job bringing sure it up the rear, Larry. We are out of time today. You can find those products online at asicentral.com/radio. Thanks to everyone for listening. Thanks to today's show sponsor, AIA. And we'll see you next week, same time, same place,
sure.
right?
Yeah,
why not?
Let's do it again.
Have a great week. Bye-bye.